Good afternoon. Today is Monday, July the 16th, 198th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is the bank dude from Redwood Capital Bank, John Dalby.
It is so delightful to see you, Brian.
You just came from the optometrist, right? And it started, yeah, okay. Good. Delightful.
Delightful.
Delightful. Delicious. Lovely.
No, isn't there it's a not song? That. No, oh, no,
okay.
No, no.
You can't extrapolate.
No, we're not going down that road.
Okay, fine.
You're speechless. He's speechless.
No, I'm just feeling...
Speechless.
Feeling less than what I did a minute and a half ago. This afternoon, we'll talk about some of the... Well, you've heard about breaking rules, don't break rules, how to approach it. There are reasons and things like that behind rules and rule breaking. We'll talk a bit about that, not because Stephen Covey died today.
No, I'm sorry to hear that. I didn't know that.
Well, it was just in the news, man.
Who listens to the news?
Two out of three in this room act the same way. We're not sure which way, so we'll figure that out during the break. We'll come back. We'll have questions and answers. And rule breaking, too, when we come back.
I'm Mark Biette with today's garden tip about not being a prunomaniac. The conscientious gardener needs to know that each kind of plant has its own best time to be pruned. Avoid shearing flowering plants into shapes which really look unnatural. Thin flowering shrubs with a hand pruner. I'm Mark Biette with today's garden tip.
You've got to get up pretty early in the morning to hear Mark Biette and his wealth of gardening knowledge. 5 to 7 a.m. Sundays on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with John Dalby, president of Redwood Capital Bank. But before we do, our quote this afternoon. Oh, great. You go and you choose somebody who doesn't know their name. Good deal. My kind of guy. Not restricted by the constraints of society.
Let's get on with it, please.
Yeah, okay, fine. Golf can be best defined as the endless series of tragedies obscured by the occasional miracle. Had a fun weekend, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seen my golf game.
Yeah.
And the miracles are very occasional.
Yeah, yeah. Few and far between, yeah. divine intervention just to hit that five-foot putter, huh? What is, John, from your perspective, the biggest challenge for a company trying to stay abreast, maintain or grow market share, or just to survive?
The majority of businesses that thrive because of their people. If you have good people, and we've had that discussion before about how to select them and how to manage them and so forth. But really, that is the driver. If you have good people, self-motivated, and they're in the right job, you can have a really good employee in the wrong job and you have a disaster. So it really is matching the skill sets and the temperaments with the position and giving them an environment in which to thrive.
So with that as a backdrop, there are businesses that hit that number, hit that profile, they're there, and they still go out of business. Are they pushing the envelope? Are they following the market trends? Are they setting the market trends? Are they able to maintain their close contact with their customer base without doing something overt?
Yeah, assuming you're in a business that has transitory markets. I mean,
everybody's doing computers now, right?
Exactly.
Things change.
Technology obviously is very transitory. It goes, by the time you actually get into a market, you better be working on the next one because what you're doing now is obsolete, okay? So, that's a whole different mindset. And, your choices then, are you going to be on the cutting edge, or sometimes we call it the bleeding edge? Are you going to be just behind the cutting edge, trying to take advantage of those people that are, maybe you don't get all the market share, but you're going to get some at less cost? You got to know where you're at.
You're the early adapters. Who
exactly.
Are
I would rather be kind of, later in the edge than the bleeding edge.
I don't need to feel the wind in my face either.
let somebody else really, experiment and find out that something does or does not work. Now, of course, if they're coming into your market with that, then,
game on.
Exactly. But you got to know where you are.
So how can you have a company that's set up that can do both? We'll sit back. We'll watch industry trends nationally. We'll see what's going on. All of a sudden, somebody, whether it's the guy across the street or somebody new into the market, brings it to town. So while you may have been anticipating 9 to 12 month implementation, and here's your, you know, your timeline. Okay, guys, we got 10 days. Here we go. So how do you break that rule and be able to adjust instead of doing the due diligence and the research and going out of market and seeing what's going on to go, okay, that's nice. We got to bring in our resources and we got to move now.
Yeah, I wish I had magic answers. I don't, because every circumstance is different. But if somebody's coming into your marketplace with a product you don't have, you've got to make some very, very quick decisions. For instance, what is the actual buying habits? Now, you can go out and say, what are people looking for? But what you really want to know is, what are their buying habits? Let me give you an example. In selling services, if you conduct a poll, people will say price is very high, if not number one on the list of priorities when they purchase services. Yet if you look at their buying habits, the number one issue is reliability. You know, you generally don't go to the cheapest restaurant. You go to the one that is palatable.
Yeah, the one that passes the health inspection.
Exactly. You don't go to the to a CPA that gets your tax return right 75% of the time, or you don't go to the mechanic that usually gets the brake job correct. You want some reliability. And once that reliability is broken, that trust is broken with your customer, you've lost the customer. And that's in service. And so you really got to look at, what are the buying habits of your customer base, and why are they with you to start with?
How about challenging the internal mindset? Is that something that can be fostered, promulgated?
That's very difficult. And in fact, the book I brought today, is that a good segue?
Well, for 10 seconds until we have the break.
Talks about exactly that, how to change culture and how to develop culture.
I knew eventually we'd get there. KINS, News and Information Times 319. We'll be back with more from John Dalby.
There's a brand new show on KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Country Gold with Randy Owen, Sunday evenings from 8 till midnight. It's a four-hour intensive music show hosted by the lead vocalist of the group Alabama. Country Gold will feature 13 songs per hour and highlighted music from the 70s to the mid-90s. Be sure to listen to KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Sunday evening from 8 till midnight, Country Gold with Randy Owen.
Good afternoon. Get out of my space. Yeah. Good afternoon. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 324. A little carryover from the break there.
He just insulted me.
Just before we came back,
John
said, I think
everybody should call in and tell Brian he needs to apologize.
Yeah. I'm watching the phones.
Yeah. Last time I did that, I had to buy lunch for the guy who called in to defend me.
Yeah. Well, good. At least you had a
pre-agreed. That's you, Hank.
Yeah. Pre-agreed association there, an agreement. It's interesting to see how things do change, and I would think, particularly in light of so many industries going through so much revolutionary change these days, that whatever the rules are, by the time you find out what they are, they were probably yesterday's, and you need to be looking ahead just to stay in the game. So as you're looking at some of these different opportunities, how do you identify what the rules are or what the rules are going to be?
Well, more and more you have to use specialists. You know, for instance, we have a person that we engage as a contractor to provide human resources compliance. So, you know, we run everything by that person as a consultant to make sure that we're remaining within the compliance and the new rules of hiring and labor, et cetera, et cetera. So. That's where you end up spending a lot of money on attorneys and so forth. And then if it's a big enough issue, you go, and you're a big enough company, you go in-house and you hire somebody full-time, you know, looking over everyone's shoulder. And, of course, that person can have the worst or the best job depending on their attitude and the way how they approach
the day's
problems.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, you know, because you have somebody that's you know doesn't have the same culture, and they walk up and say, "Well, you can't do that." Well, the next first thing you want to say is, "Yes, I can."
Yeah.
Okay. Now we have a problem.
See, I'm thinking won a bet. Would yeah. be a, yeah. So getting back to the book that you were teasing there before the break.
Yes, I brought a book here by Marcus Buckingham. We actually, about 10 years ago, I brought this book in. It's called First Break All the Rules. And it is a book driven by the largest Gallup poll ever undertaken. 400 companies were involved and 80,000 managers were involved. And I don't know how many people they actually sent questionnaires out to. But basically what they did is they took 400 companies, they categorized them based on success levels or measures. So for instance, you know, high productivity, high profitability, low turnover, high morale, et cetera. And as we all know, we'd love to have an employee who is productive, profitable, because those are not necessarily the same, productive, profitable, is in a good mood, enjoys his job, and stays for a long time. I think we'd all like employees like that. And so what they did is they found companies that met that mark. You know, there were successful companies, ones that weren't. Interviewed their employees, their managers, and they found that there were 12 key questions that if your employees answered yes to, you had more likelihood of being a company of high productivity, high profitability, high morale, and low turnover.
And how much did it cost to get to those 12?
I have no questions. Idea.
Okay.
I think it cost me.
Great to know what you have, but to implement those and to turn a battleship around.
Yeah, see, I just opened the cover here, and it cost me $30 U.S.
for the
to
book.
Buy the book.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah.
how I got the information.
Well, and I would think one of the things, and I guess the second half of the show we'll get into the specifics. One of the things is to know that it exists. Entirely different to implement, and yet again another stage to know to implement and be able to afford to maintain that during the transition time of going from wherever you are to wherever you want to go. The stick-to-itiveness or the stickiness of this.
Well, on the flip side, if you could have a company of high profitability, high productivity, and low turnover, how can you afford not to?
Well, let's say I've got two of the four. Because I know there was a fourth one because I
right.
counted last time. And that's okay. Why change? Why should I break the rules?
You don't have to.
Oh, okay.
I mean, if you're content, well, you know, ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, that's the name of another book I know you brought in too. Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, on the flip side, you know, going through this, what we did, the first time I read through this information, I sent this questionnaire, the same exact 12 questions, out to my employees, just yes or no. And, you know, I measured it and looked at it and said, okay. I mean, there are some things here. There's not much you can do about it other than allow it to happen. For instance, let's see, what question is it? Number 10, do I have a best friend at work? Well, how do I make that happen? Well, one thing is I can... you know, refrain from discouraging it from happening. If that makes sense.
Yeah, there's the negative yeah. as well as the positive.
Yeah,
side,
I can't yeah. really, you know, make you and Aaron get along and be, you know, be buddies, but I can, you know, not discourage it. That's a double negative.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to take a couple minutes and contemplate
yeah.
that one.
I can go with a triple negative if you want.
No. Well, there's
so don't pay me, don't never mind.
Don't worry. I pay you so very little anyway.
I know.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:30. We'll be back with more from John Dalby.
There's never been a clear winner in the so-called battle of the sexes, but in the battle for bacteria-free hands, one half of the population is germier than the other. So whose hands are cleaner, men or women? Hi, I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and here's to your health. The researchers tested 51 college students using a new detailed system for detecting bacterial DNA. But remember, most of the bacteria in our bodies is either harmless or beneficial.
Dr. Hoffman answers some of your health questions on Health Talk, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 on KWSW 980 AM.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:36. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with the bank dude from Redwood Capital Bank, John Dalby. John, you said you had these 12 magic questions that you that help to profile a business that is effective, efficient, profitable, and a great place to work. Is that pretty close to
high morale, low turnover, high productivity, and high profitability?
I'll call that a 95. That's pretty, a solid A, my recollection.
Okay. Yeah, I'd take that one.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd want to be a part of that company.
Would you?
Yes.
Low turnover?
Yep.
Well, okay, now low turnover doesn't mean new people aren't coming on board all the time.
If you're a growing company.
It's going to be expansion, yeah.
Correct.
Okay. See, I'm asking and answering my own questions, so I can carry on this conversation. Yeah. What are some of the
Okay, let's go.
Questions.
Number one, the number one question is, do I know what is expected of me at work? And it is incredible how many employees are frustrated because they really don't have clear expectations laid out for them of what is expected.
How detailed? Or are you talking granular or are you talking large picture?
Depends on the job.
Both.
Depends on the nature of the position.
I got my sales guys.
By definition. They're expected to bring in revenue.
Revenue generation, commercial creation.
Correct.
Periodic collections.
Okay. And you want people buying again and again. You want repeat.
Yeah.
So you're looking for relationships.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
That can be
enough information rather than.
Well, now you have cultural issues too.
Granular.
Are you hard sell? Are you a consultative seller? What is the style that you want to be? And that comes into attitude, but there has to be expectations laid out as to what you're looking for. But what the study says is that employees want to know what's expected.
Clarity.
Yeah. I mean, one of the worst examples that I've ever seen was in my own life, and that was I once had a manager of me come to me and say, you know, that even though, you know, my division was exceeding all goals, that I was not meeting his expectations. So I asked the question, well, what is it exactly you want me to do? And the answer was, if you have to ask, there's a problem. Now, that answer sets everybody up for failure.
Now, knowing the personality... And projecting myself into that moment, I would have said, I guess I'm going to be fired, but I don't have a clue what you're talking about.
Exactly.
And confront.
So anyway, that's the study. The second question
That was your former employee?
Yeah.
Or former employer. Yes.
Yeah, that was a former one, yeah.
That's okay. Good.
Okay, here's another one. Number two, do I have the materials and equipment I need to do the job right?
Now, is that... often answered as a no?
If it's answered as a no, you're less likely to have a work environment which is highly productive, highly profitable, low turnover, and high morale.
I guess that one seems like a no-brainer that you would have to have the tools to be able to accomplish the goal.
We all assume that, but that's important.
Okay.
So let's not neglect
it. Okay, so it's just a recognition.
Doesn't mean it's unusual.
Okay.
At work, do I have the opportunity to do what I do best every day? This comes into that concept we were talking about earlier, and that is if you put the right employee in the wrong job, they're not going to be happy and you're not going to be happy with the results. And the reason being is because we like to do what we do best. And if we're doing what we do best, so if you have an employee has five tasks and they do four of them well, only have them do the four. Let somebody else do the one, if possible.
I just started. Read that again. I need the timing for this one to be right.
At work, do I have the opportunity to do what I do best every day?
Except for the interruptions from customers. Yeah. And there are people.
Well, you know, the good thing about that, if you don't want to be interrupted by customers very soon, you won't have any.
Yeah, that's a problem that will disappear. Yeah.
All right, let's look at number four. In the last 7 days, have I received recognition or praise for doing good work? You know, like filling out the affidavits here at the radio station.
As an example.
Sorry, that's an inside joke, everybody. No,
it's right up there with MySpace. So that is a different question then. Is that a fun place to work?
It's a completely different question. It is, am I recognized when I do a good job? Sometimes we take our employees for granted that do a good job, you know, week in and week out, week in and week out. Well, pretty soon they become unhappy. We take what they do for granted. And so stepping out and trying to recognize them on a regular basis, one, reinforces your expectations. Two, reinforces that, you know,
paying attention.
Exactly. And that you care about what they do. Let's see. Number five, my supervisor or someone at work seems to care about me as a person.
Without crossing the line of asking things you're not supposed to ask.
Some of the greatest people we know that influence our lives generally ask you about your children, your home, your wife, your family, your father, your parents, and they remember when they see you, so that you know that you have that personal. So it's not.
I would think nothing is more disingenuous than asking every time, "How's your dog doing?" And the dog died 4 years ago.
Yeah, you do need to remember
retention.
Because
really,
what it's saying is that your supervisor, your manager, has a relationship with you beyond just work.
Yeah,
that they recognize that you're a human being, that you have feelings and challenges and so forth.
KINS, News and Information Time. Speaking of challenges, it's going to be tough to get in all 12, but we'll do our best when we come back. It's 3:43.
Water always wins. That's why there's a Grand Canyon. I'm Glenn Higgy, America's master handyman. Keeping water away from your home's foundation is one of the most important things you can do. If your home is on a crawl space, you need to know what is going on under your feet. Your home's structural integrity and your family's health may depend on it.
Listen to Glenn Higgy, Sunday morning, 7 to 8 a.m. on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:46. Clean rejoin this time with Mr. Dalby.
And we're going to get straight into the rest
rocket,
of the questions.
Dude.
All right, number six on the list of questions is there someone at work who encourages my development so that there's some feeling of a career path? At work.
A formal.
Yes, formal
framework.
Career path.
Yeah.
Okay. At work, does my opinion seem to count? Yeah, we all want to give input onto the
be part of the.
And what I found is the people that do the job probably have a better idea of how it should be done than I do, and I ought to be listening to them. And as long as it falls into the culture and the expectations, it'll probably get done better if we do it their way. Yeah. Okay. Does the mission purpose of my company make me feel my job is important?
The mission purpose?
Mm-hmm.
Mission statements?
Well, for instance, my company is here to fleece people. No, I mean, don't mean that seriously. I mean, that's...
Play that next ad with
Aaron. Yeah. Or, you know, is that the company you want to work for? Or is it...
But that would never show up as a mission statement.
We provide... No, I didn't say mission statement. It's the mission or purpose. Mission / purpose.
Okay.
So, you know, are we here to create relationships and to better people's lives? As opposed to, I'm here to ruin your life and become profitable for
you. How about to provide a service that the customers recognize they need? Period. I'm a vendor. You know, I'm going to make their life a little bit better.
So meeting needs.
Yeah.
Right. Boom. Recognizing and meeting needs. Okay. The question here is, does the employee feel what your mission and purpose is important, and they feel that their job is important because they're a part of it? Okay. Are my coworkers committed to doing quality work? Because if you're the only one, they're going to suck you down, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Do I have a best friend at work?
We visited that one.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit. I don't know if that was during your break or not.
No, it was one of the early segments.
Oh, okay.
But then my witty repartee was during the break. Yeah.
All right. In the last 6 months, has somebody at work talked to me about my progress?
Employee reviews.
That's even beyond that. It's talking about your progress. You know, hey, you're getting better at this. And when you get better at this, then we can do this. And here's the next step. And, you know, you're moving forward. This last year, I've had an opportunity. This last year, have I had opportunities to work, to learn, and to grow?
Boy, I can't think of any job that doesn't require learning more, knowing more, growing more. I mean, even like a landscaper. There's new tools, there's new techniques, there's new experiences. I mean, all that kind of stuff. But you're saying in a formal structured setting.
Hey, we've all been to companies that are doing the job the exact same way they did, you know, 50 or 100 years ago. Sometimes with the same equipment.
Where did I see? Oh, grocery store with an iPad. So they're doing the sign in, sign outs, and the breaks and stuff. Come up to the checkout stand and you tap it in, and it was a little disconcerting for this guy,
right?
But so anyway, I survived the experience.
I do recommend the book.
Name
First
again?
Break All the Rules
by
Marcus Buckingham.
Thanks for coming by.
Always good to see you, Brian.
Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.